money and markets. To say that the financial and commodities markets were in pins and needles all week, waiting to see what the Fed will do, again, their big meeting coming up on June 20, is an understatement. Gold started June at about 1600. It ran up almost to 1640 yesterday and then sunk 50 points this morning. The reason given was that Ben Bernanke was very circumspect about what, if anything, he would do. We see tremendous tensions in the Eurozone. Over the weekend, George Soros on Friday gave a speech proposing more centralized economic control in Europe. We have Stiglitz disagreeing with Soros, but saying, yes, we need more centralized economic control of fiscal authority. Spain also wants a new euro fiscal authority, they're saying. And the reality is that more central control is not going to solve anything. It is true that one of the problems was that there was no budgeting mechanism in place to stop the sort of fraudulent inducement of debt. But more central control is simply going to shut off the economy and stop the market solutions that need to happen if you're going to mark to market. We did a special Soleri report. I didn't want to wait because of the events unfolding in Greece. I called up John Laughlin in Paris last week and said, look, we've got to do a special interview. We posted that on the blog Friday. It's great background and great insight on what is happening right now in Europe, and I recommend that to you strongly. We also have links to John's book on the European Union and a link, if you go through the blog posts, on his wonderful article, Why the Euro Will Fail. But I think you will really enjoy that. He points out that the knack, the people centralizing in Europe have an amazing knack of getting their way, and I think that was one of his great insights. But it's appropriate we're talking about echo villages this evening, because as further rounds of centralization shut down and shut off the economy, particularly the small business and entrepreneurial economy, we see more people gathering locally, including in echo villages, to rebuild away from the central control. And so they're literally echo villages is part of that sort of local response to what we're seeing. Not unrelated to the Eurozone policies, we had Bilderberger meeting in Chantilly, Virginia, from May 30th to June 30th. Oddly enough, for many years, there's been a press blackout of the Bilderbergers, and we see a few reporters doing yeoman effort to really promote the fact that this group and its meetings are important. It started with journalist Jim Tucker from The Spotlight, and then Daniel Estulin, who's joined us on the Soleri Report, covered the Bilderbergs more from the European point of view, and finally Alex Jones has jumped in. And we have so much alternative press coverage of the Bilderbergers, they've been forced, this is unbelievable to me, to put up an official website and publish an official participant group, which of course does not include all the participants, but it's quite a concession on the part of the Bilderbergers to have been forced to do that by the alternative press. Interestingly enough, though, there are less rumors than ever coming out of the Bilderberg meeting. I've never seen it as tight as this. One of the rumors is that Mitch Daniels has been chosen to be Romney's VP candidate. Again, that's only a rumor, but it's a very intriguing rumor if it's true. The Bushies, Mitch Daniels is the governor of Indiana. He's from the Bush camp. A Bushy on the ticket with Romney indicates there may be more support from the Bush faction, which is, of course, the most powerful part of the Republican Party. Daniels ran the Office of Management and Budget for George W. Bush. That's a very critical position, and if you're serious about reengineering the U.S. federal budget and the economy, which, of course, is likely, we're approaching a fiscal cliff or falling off a fiscal cliff after the election, that's exactly the kind of person you'd want in there. The Bushes know a lot about how to control the government from the VP spot. When George H.W. Bush made the deal with the Reagan administration to be VP, he went in controlling enforcement and the intelligence agencies, and really after the president was shot in the attempted assassination attempt, George H.W. Bush, as a practical matter, ran the National Security Council. So the Bushies know a lot about how to control the government from the VP spot, particularly if it's somebody who knows the nuts and bolts of the budget and control of the regulatory apparatus, which the former director of Office and Management and Budget would know how to do. So it's a very interesting pick if it's true, and it probably ups the chances that Romney is a serious contender. So let's see what emerges. More continued concern in the world about a possible China slowdown. Again, as I've said many times on the Solari report, China's biggest customer is the Eurozone, so the slowdown in the Eurozone is bound to translate into a slowdown in China. Fukushima combined with high oil prices continue to hurt Japan, so Asia is struggling. The tensions regarding Syria continue to rise. The administration is now in a real dance with Putin now that he's been confirmed and is back in the number one spot in Russia. But there's a real dance between the United States and Russia. What's going to happen next? And the possibility of intervention in war continue, including right before the election. So keep an eye on what's going to happen in the Middle East. The U.S. economy is still struggling. There's very strong financial crisscross going on, cross currents in housing. Different disputes by the pundits on whether housing prices have bottomed out. On one hand, you have quantitative easing continue to support the housing prices, very, very low interest rates, and doing a lot to keep the housing market supported. But, of course, there continues to be a significant foreclosure backlog. And, of course, the $64,000 question is after the election, with federal, state, and local government having to make significant cutbacks, what's that going to do to housing? The equity markets continue to struggle. They opened the month one place, dropped dramatically, and have bounced back up, including today. Facebook, the stock, went as low as 25.5. Friends out in Silicon Valley started referring to the IPO as Facebook. The next week they referred to it as Faceberg, and now they're referring to it as Faceplant. But it's a remarkable drop, and really not a good drop for confidence in the stock market. Politics. We've seen Governor Scott Walker of Wisconsin was not recalled. He got 53% of the vote. You have to wonder whether there was voter fraud there. Hard to believe that a recall might not work, although, as one of my colleagues points out, recalls are hard to do. Next year is the 50th anniversary of the Kennedy assassination, and great colleague of mine sent me a new book called Mary Mosaic, The CIA Conspiracy to Murder John F. Kennedy, Mary Pinchot Meyer, and Their Vision for World Peace. And he's been bugging me for months to read it. And I finally sat down, started this week, and literally could not put it down, ended up posting a review on the blog called Mary's Mosaic, and ended up sending a note of congratulations to the author. It's an absolutely remarkable book. John Rappaport and I are going to do a series on the best books for the 20th century. I assure you this one will be on it. But I would encourage you to take a look at the review on the blog. And I think for anyone interested in recent American history and sort of the true story of how the world works, beautifully written, it's a remarkable book, and I recommend it to you. Certainly check out the review. The UK Supreme Court has voted to extradite Julian Assange of WikiLeaks to Sweden. However, the Assange's British attorneys think there is a possibility of reopening the case with the Supreme Court, and so that story continues to be fluid. There's two very important pieces on the pension funds that I posted on the blog this week. In fact, they could be two of the most important stories this week in terms of what's going to impact the well-being and health and wealth of the people listening to this phone call. One is a New York Times article about the rosy return assumptions for public pension funds. The big pension funds are assuming a 7-8% return assumption on current assets, and that has a profound and dramatic impact on how much money is asked to be contributed by the underlying governmental entities. And given the drop in yields in the market, both in the equity market and the bond market, 7-8%, which doesn't seem unreasonable historically, is looking very, very rosy. And, of course, if the pension funds have to change that, it could have a very big impact on state and local government. In addition, we see a fascinating story coming out of the AFL-CIO on the Texas Teacher Retirement Pension System. The CIO, a gentleman named Harris, has given awarded big money to KKR and other LBO funds. KKR is one of the players highlighted in the Dylan Reed story that I published. KKR was in charge of RJR Nabisco at the time that the European Union described in their lawsuit suing about money laundering by RJR Nabisco, including with Latin American drug cartels, Saddam Hussein's family, the Russian mafia, and on and on. It's quite a global organized crime thriller. So we have the Texas Teacher Retirement investing significant monies with KKR, and sure enough, they turn up, the chief investment officer turns up at the Bilderberger Conference, which of course is one of the people always present at Bilderberger is representatives of KKR. So you kind of wonder whether or not the prudent man rule controls at the Texas Teacher Retirement, or rather connections to the Bilderberger control. And I think that's a very important question, given what we've seen the pension funds do. In the story on the blog, I put up the story again of my experience with the president of CalPERS, indicating that, in fact, capital was allocated not by what was in the best interests of beneficiaries, or not what was sort of dictated by federal and state and local law, but instead by outside forces outside the pension fund. A very chilling story and worth understanding. There's wanted to point out a couple of videos on the blog. There's a great video, short video, on the relationship between nutrition and depression. It's quite interesting and short. That's under Food and Health. Science and Technology. George Ure had a very interesting point up on his blog, and I put it up as a quote. He says, most folks haven't grokked what Honda's got going in the wings with their Asimo program. That's their robot program. But the answer is simple. Asimo, with a few tweaks and a credit card scanner, can wipe out virtually every job in retail, including pizza delivery and even housekeeping. I put up one of the videos of the Asimo robotics, and it's worth taking a look at because, in fact, robotics over the next 5 to 10 years do have the ability to devastate service industry employment, and something I think we need to anticipate and think about and be prepared for. Under the topic of wild cards, we have Fox News doing an interview by phone with astronaut Edgar Mitchell saying that aliens exist. And Mitchell, of course, a former astronaut, is not saying anything new. He's been saying this for a long time. What is new is that Fox News is now sending this message into middle America on its morning news shows. Why do I mention this? Put aside whether aliens exist or not, be aware of a story, and I'll use this as an example. Wernher von Braun was quoted on his deathbed in the early 70s as confiding his fears about the weaponization of space. He identified the scare tactics as to artificial threats that would convince the public to accept space-based weapons. The first threat was Russians and communists. We've all heard that one. The second was terrorists. We've all heard that one. The third was third-world country crazies, the axis of evil, nations of concern. The fourth was asteroids. We've heard those too. And the fifth and final one was aliens. So beware how this information is used and presented.